Hey, welcome everybody to Vancouver AI meetup number 21. Thank you very much for coming. You are the Vancouver AI community. Fuck yeah, I'm really excited to see everybody. It's a really big week in AI right now. A lot of people have been talking about it. They're feeling things. There's UBC's Immersion Week going on. There was a Vancouver Entrepreneur Forum AI event going on this week. 125 people from our BC AI community are in Montreal right now doing the all-in thing, a big sovereign AI Canadian conference that's going on with Minister Evan Solomon and Minister Rick Glomax. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and I really appreciate you guys carving out your time to be here with each other and with me. I love doing this, so thank you very much for being here. I'm excited to kick us off tonight with my buddy Johnny Williams from the Squamish Nation. Come on up, Johnny. You guys have seen Johnny here before. He helped me get this thing going 2 years ago in my studio. He's now running for Nation Council. He may or may not talk about that, but he's dealing with an election right now. I'm really proud of you, man. Room's all yours. I'm going to keep the mic here so we can get the room sound. But Johnny Williams.
Halt squaw, Johnny Queen Snaw, Tanat Chin Tlani Quapsum, Skohol Mishulf, Wanunafs and Squalwin, Chenkwan Tomiap with Tropic to TT Seats, Amen Chenkwan Tomiap to Chid Siav with Onflop Squal. Hello, my name's Jonathan Williams, though my mom's the only one who calls me that. Everyone else just called him Johnny. I come from the Quapsum Reservation, or it's also known as North Yards, is in the Squamish Valley. I left at like 5:20, and I still didn't get here on time. I got stuck in that bridge traffic for 45 minutes. It is crazy. But I'm a Squamish Nation member. As Krista stated earlier, I'm actually running in our nation elections right now. The vote day will be on the 28th. Hopefully I'm elected. We shall see. I don't know yet. I also said that in my heart, I'm a respectful person, or I believe to be a respectful person in my heart. And the last thing I said was, I'm grateful for all you guys that are here today. Take your time to come and hang out and do this with Chris. And I also said thanks to Chase Seymour, our creator, for the beautiful day. I was always taught we're supposed to start an event in a good way, and a good way for us is either through a prayer or through song. And then I'll be sharing the song known as Hope Hope Chase, or They See I'm Solo. In English, it would be like the Chief's song. This song was sung by one of the first set of counselors of the Squamish Nation after amalgamation in the 1920s. There was a group of 16 Siams, or chiefs, that went over to England. They paid for the whole process themselves, the boating and everything. And in the story I heard, there's different stories. It's not a written tale of what happened, but and the story that I heard is they sung this song because when they went to go speak with the queen, they weren't allowed to go into the castle. But so after they sung this song, the queen realized that we are humans too, and that we, with the beautiful song, she realized that, I guess in the words that they would put, we weren't just savages. So the song that I'll be sharing again is Hope Hope Chaith, or the Siam Slolo. In this song, there's a part where I raise my hands. In our language, it's known as Kayashtin. When we raise our hands like this, it's a thank you, but it's also a welcome. Hey, Jaya, oh, hey, 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 Jaya, oh, oh, hey, Jaya. Ho ho je he a cha I don't know how much Chris has spoken about me before, but I first met Chris when I went on a canoe journey from Squamish all the way to Bella Bella. We canoed for 23 days straight, 21 days?
600 nautical miles.
Day after day after day. Sometimes we got in, it would be 11 o'clock at night, and you're going with the first tide at 3 a.m. And he was our support boat the whole way, so. That's how me and Chris first met. And then he asked me, my family to help open up his work in a good way. And so my mother and my Auntie Joyce, my mother Charlene Joseph, and my Auntie Joyce Williams also, you may have seen them do an opening as well, or helping him with some of his work. And when he told about the event that was going on to my parents, I was interested personally because I used AI in my work. When I was working as a cultural advisor for the Rights and Title Department for the Squamish Nation, I did a lot of doctrine readings. I worked on a lot of different OCPs, depending on where they came from.
What's an OCP?
It's an official
cultural plan.
It's an official community plan. Yeah. And I've worked on a variety of ones within our territory, one in Gibson's, one in Gambier, also here in the North Shore. And they're often not very small documents. A lot of them are 200, 250, maybe give or take 50 or 100 different pages. And I'm personally only looked at them for the cultural aspect. So, there's not really many people who I could ask to be able to search through these documents, even if I was asking the person who wrote the document, because they don't look at it through a cultural aspect. But I've worked with an AI personally on the things that I've wrote. And information that I put in through Squamish information that I've learned as a culture advisor. And since I've added the information and corrected it on different information, it made it my job a lot easier. So it would point me to the places that I have to look at and then things that I should comment on. And then I'd go look in that specific page and see what kind of avenues or things that I could place forward within those. And then now I use AI a lot for my pamphlets and my posters and my presentations for my candidacy. Mm-hmm. It just comes out a lot more concise than what I'm able to put on the paper. And it has a lot of better words than what I would
have. Johnny, your AI story is one of my favorite AI stories of all time, even though you've been telling it to us for like 2 years. Johnny speaks the Squamish language. He's one of a new group of Squamish speakers that have been trained, but there's just a handful of Squamish speakers left, like maybe 10 or 12. How many?
So there's about 10, like fully, no.
From the old generation.
There's like 60 of you. There's like 5 fully fluent Squamish speakers. And then there's a lot of speakers like myself who we'd say are like Tarzan speakers or people who speak like adolescent or a child. So that's pretty much what I say. So you're able to ask a specific amount of questions and be able to understand a lot, but you don't have a very big vocabulary. And after I was a part of the first cohort, and now they've done 4 or 5 cohorts. So there's about 60 or 70 of us now who have come to be speakers. Yeah.
So check this out. There's 5 original language fluent speakers. There's 60 new generation speakers. And AI allowed him to go from being a document parser to being a cultural advisor. That's what he said to me. He's like, dude, I can't even find the parts in the PDFs. Most of the times they want me to give I'm like one of the only people that speaks the language left on this planet. They want my advice on this thing. And I can't even find the parts. So he's like, now I drop like 10 PDFs in on Monday, pulls all the paragraphs I need to consult on. I get to go about my business and my work being a cultural advisor. Pretty freaking amazing, dude. Thanks for being a part of this, Johnny.
Appreciate
Yeah, man.
Oh, one more thing.
I always forget to mention, but what we now call Greater Vancouver, the word in our language for it is known as Kamalai. And what that translates to is the place of lots of maples. Before there was lots of buildings, lots of roads, there was a lot of nature before. And the way we often choose our words the way we create our words is describing what is happening in the place or what is going on. You don't often name things after people or things.
Thank you, Johnny. We all spend a lot of time talking about, you know, AI alignment, keeping the human in the thing. And so like us starting off with Johnny sharing a bit of his story and his song and ceremony here is a chance for us to kind of all get on the same page. It's a chance to put this stuff first as we go down in our geeky rabbit holes and explore this AI stuff. And I really just appreciate you setting the whole context here, Johnny, through your sharing, buddy. Thanks for being here. Okay, let's move on. Kevin's got my roadmap here for me. All right, let me pause that for one quick sec. So there's a whole bunch of people that have been participating in this event from abroad, not just my parents who you guys met last month, but one of my old mentors and friends, Dave Olson from Japan, made us a little video tonight because we've been sending out these podcast dispatches each month. So run the Uncle Weed video, please. Anyone here know Dave Olson? Uncle Weed? 1, 2, we got 3 people. All right, very good. Yep.
Hello, the Vancouver AI Meetup Mission 21. This is Dave Uncle Weed Olson coming to you from Tsuchida Cottage, Okayama, Japan, with a friendly greeting to say I am very grateful to be able to tap into your conversations, hear all your unique voices, and the free-form flow like some kind of punk rock jam band jazz. And I want to say a special thank you to all of you who are doing the work documenting through photos, videos, and especially podcasts. These are very important and very helpful for shut-ins and those folks who have a hard time getting out to events like this to commune with you in person. I have participated in many communications revolutions, from Ditto Machines newsletters, that's mimeograph to you old folk, to zines, to chapbooks, to dial-up modem ISPs, yep, to notable campaigns and companies in Vancouver, Olympia, and other Coast Salish territories. And over that time, I've learned a couple things. The top 3 are: go out, gather stories, and share with interestingness. 2, always be archiving, because the internet has a very short memory. And 3, always be kind, because you never know who you're going to meet on your journey. This includes feeding your robots, your helpful robots, endless goodness. If they're sticking around with us for a while, we might as well teach them to be a little bit empathetic and kind and curious. So, to those of you I know, and it's such a delight to hear so many familiar voices, and to those of you I have yet to meet, I send fond greetings and best wishes from Setochi Bioregion to have a most excellent Mission 21. Thank you for the prayers, the pods, and the candor. Fondly, from Tsuchida Cottage.
Thank you, Dave. Listen, AI doesn't have to look like Silicon Valley. It doesn't have to look like Mark Zuckerberg. It does not have to look like Elon Musk. It can look like Johnny Williams. It can look like you, Gerline. It can look like Uncle Weed here. This guy's the biggest archivist I know. He's got 25 years of pods and vlogs and blogs and all this stuff that he's meticulously kept on the internet surface. So he's now applying agents and assistants in a way that just has amplified his reach in a super incredible way. So I'm offering you tonight a whole bunch of different perspectives on what AI can look like in our world so that we don't all have to do the Silicon Valley theater that is kind of so common and dominant in the narrative right now. Okay, up next we got, hit the next slide. I think it's community announcements. But what you got next?
Well, we got
Okay, that's where we're at. Julia and Dale, come on up. Guys, don't snooze on this. We have given away $7,500 in the last couple months through our hackathon. And we've got another one that we're in the middle of right now. It's sponsored by these guys at Rival Technologies. They do a bunch of very interesting data analysis, market research stuff. Their CEO came to us a while ago. He's like, yo, let's experiment with some of this generative AI stuff you have going on top of our data collection and survey analysis. We've won three rounds. Dean Chev won last month for a really cool album. Matt Sinclair won the month before for a Canadian identity simulator. And Sev Garaskin won the first month and also got nominated in the Hall of Fame for his AGI data interface thing he's building. It's fucking redonkulous. I just hired him for a project that I work on at the Indigenomics Institute because it's so crazy. But anyway, we are in the middle. Who's downloaded the data set so far? One, two. Come on, raise your hands, guys. It's not a sneak attack here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people have downloaded. We got a new data set on our GitHub. Julia can tell you about it. Dale, I'm expecting you to really bring the heat tonight. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, so we're on round four now, right? This is the last one. So this round is actually a little bit inspired by the winner last time, Dean. It's music themed. We asked 1,000 Canadians from the Angus Reid Forum all about their opinions on how they find music today, what their favorite artists are, what their guilty pleasures are, and a whole bunch of other cool questions. So please check out the data set. Chris has sent it out already, and I believe the deadline is October 15th.
What do you want to see? You've seen three rounds of hackathon stuff come your way now.
I'm going to let Brett answer this.
Like, the sky's the limit, really. Like, go. Like, if you saw any of the previous winners, like, everyone is different. Like, everyone's looking and interpreting data different. We all talk different. We all take in information differently. That's what we're looking for, is just, like, use who you are to interpret, like, what the data is saying. It's representative of Canada. So go for it. Just have fun.
If you've never done hackathon before, this is a really unique opportunity to get your AI on, because the very first step is just download the data set and stick it in ChatGPT and be like, what the fuck is in all these surveys? And then if it says something back interesting to you, follow it down that rabbit hole, you know, and stuff. So I've developed like 10 or 12 projects based on this data set already, just so I can give other people ideas about what to do and stuff. So just grab the data set, throw it in an LLM, ask it what's in there, start to interact with it. And then maybe vibe code yourself up something around that. You know, there's a lot of really cool opportunities here. I want to say winner gets $2,500, but all the winner's circle gets taken out for a really fancy dinner. So the first time Andrew took us out of fanciest dinner, a restaurant in Vancouver, second time he got his boat out of the yacht club, took us over to Bowen Island for a winner's dinner. So worst case scenario, you make an awesome project, you get to go out with all the cool kids here for dinner. But also there's $2,500 on the table. Also, I know a lot of you guys are trying to get jobs out there. The number one thing I could tell people about finding, about penetrating the resume stack towards new jobs, is having extracurricular activities that you're awesome at. And things like winning the hack. If your MBA application is next to 500 other MBA applications, which is how it is right now today, the person who's got a hackathon win on the bottom of their resume stands out. So this is a great opportunity to take this and make it into whatever you need it to be. Anything else you want to say?
Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Anything else? Yeah, no. I also sent you, Chris, earlier this week, there's another hackathon, like, again, taking data, interpreting it, and just like, yeah. So like, there's lots of opportunities. As I said, just like, take the data, play with it. If it says something to you, great. If it doesn't, you don't enter. Like, what's the harm, right?
Yeah, you need less technical skills than ever. And I guess I will say one more. Thank you very much, guys, for being a part of this, supporting it. You're awesome. It's kind of bad luck to talk about something before the ink is fully dry, but this has been a catalyst for us getting into the kind of hackathon community space. And so we have a major tier one partner, international partner at the table. It's ByteDance. And they are... We have approval in principle to do a video and photo hackathon here with a $20,000 US prize on November 16th and 17th. So it's not fully announced yet. This is the foreshadowing. I tried to get the contract done tonight so I could really brag about it with a logo in front of me. But very likely you're going to be seeing some surprising, awesome things in terms of financial support from some major international companies around this community here. So, and we're going to keep applying the hackathon model we built to that stuff as well. So it's going to be super fucking awesome. All right, let's keep cruising here. Okay, Danny. So I told you we got a bunch of people in Montreal right now. Come on up, including our fearless leader of the Mind, AI, and Consciousness group called Loki Jorgensen. But Loki's asked Danny to share a little bit about our Mac group. So we have a whole bunch of cool subgroups that have sprung out of this main flagship meetup here. And the Mind, AI, and Consciousness group is, it's hot shit. They're doing amazing boundary-pushing work in this space around AI consciousness, understanding human consciousness, et cetera. So anyway, Danny's here tonight to tell us a little bit about Mac in general and a little bit about our last meetup, which was a week ago.
Yep. Hi, everyone. My name is... Oh, okay. Hi. My name is Danny. So I'm here to tell you a little bit of what we're doing in the deep dive that we do every month in the Mac AI community. So as I said, we gather every month to talk about the intersection of consciousness and AI. How can we use this new technology to understand what's happening inside of our heads and in our experience as humans in general? Sometimes the conversation is more philosophical and sometimes it's more related to new discoveries in science and technology. And for example, in the last deep dive, that was the fifth one that we had an expert that works in the intersection of quantum computers, AI, and consciousness. So this expert, her name is Susanne Gilder. I don't know if she's here. If you're here, I'm going to try to explain what you told us. If I say something wrong, please forget me. Okay. So part of her theory is trying to understand or trying to see if there's a part of our consciousness that comes from quantum mechanics. So she says that there is a part of us that is more automatic, so more programmatic, which is similar to computers or machines, and there's part of us that actually has some agency. And in this agency is where we can find consciousness. So because she works with quantum computers, she's trying to bring this part of this agency that comes from the quantum realm or the quantum physics to robots. She's trying to figure out if this is the way to give robots agency, therefore consciousness. That was mind-blowing to me. It was crazy. I left the place like, what? Is like reality real? So we do this type of conversations. It's great. You don't need any type of expert to be able to be here. For example, I'm a designer, so I'm trying to follow these conversations, but we do have like big brains there. Some people come from tech, some people come from science, and some people are in the intersection of the two of them. So it's like, wow, super smart people. But we're always looking for someone new. We're always looking for diversity. And we are right now a group of, I don't remember how many, but we're like 100, I think. But we gather in groups of 20. We're trying to increase the amount of people that goes to the gathering. There's a WhatsApp group where we share a lot of information. I don't know if we are able to share the group, but I'm sure you have it. Yes, we do have to do a lot of reading before each one of these gatherings. It's important that we read so we can share what we're thinking, what are our opinions about it. The next one is on October 16th, and this one it's about, is AI a philosophical zombie? So I have no idea what that is. I'm going to figure it out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Danny. One of the things I love the most about the Mind, AI, and Consciousness group is that it stands in stark contrast to what we're doing here, where it's just like, everyone's welcome, bars as low as it can be. If you can't afford it, we'll try to find a way for you to get a ticket. Everybody welcome. This group is like, I'm sorry, sir, have you done your readings? And then he gives you pop quiz at the door about some fucking existential next level bullshit, right? And so it's like, and I've actually found it a really useful like peer accountability group, because I can't actually show up unless I've done all the readings and watched all the videos. It's like the oath we take to each other, right? So it's an amazing group. We are definitely going deep. It's provided me like, I don't know, the guardrails to kind of continue in my studies. I'm even working on a personal research paper around aesthetic taste. And if we could use aesthetic taste as a way to potentially determine if there is consciousness inside of AIs or not, because it seems like attraction and understanding for art and beauty and the rest is something that is uniquely human. So maybe we could use this as a rubric to test new consciousnesses as we come in contact with them. So anyway, the group has made me expand to be a part of it, and I really appreciate everything. Thanks, Danny, for sharing tonight. Shout out to Loki, who's holding down the fort in Montreal. It's a great group. Okie dokie, now we got some community announcements coming up. I'm gonna go ahead and ask Elena so that I don't forget, because your name's not up there. Come on up. Elena is new to this community. She's a part of the BC AI Members Network, and she's organizing an event with Professor Issam at the confusingly named Vancouver AI Meetup at Northeastern University. Go ahead and tell us what's going on.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm Elena. Hi, everyone. So I'm co-creating an upcoming Vancouver AI Meetup with Professor Issam Lahirdi. And it's on October 18. We're hosting a special gathering called AI Beyond the Algorithm, Power Psyche, and the Human Future of Human Agency. We'll be joined by incredible speakers, including Chris, will help us set up the tone for the evening. And then Dr. Philippe Pasquier from SFU. We'll also have a local dev demoing how to run LM privately. So there's a big emphasis on how to ensure privacy when you're using models. So yeah, I'll share the link to the event on the BC Plus AI WhatsApp group and on Luma. So you'll be able to sign up and hopefully join us. And if you have any questions, I'll be around. So thanks so much. Hope to see you there. Have a nice evening.
I have so many good things to say about this organization other than their unfortunate name. They are doing amazing learning groups, peer-centered learning. It only costs $5 to show up. The $5 is just to make sure that people who indicate they're going actually do show up. But they go deep, and Professor Issam shares all sorts of stuff. Him and I share a vision for building a British Columbia Center of Excellence in AI, and he does a really good job of articulating that vision. So thanks for being a part of this. Thanks. And Philippe, who's also speaking with me at that event, a lot of you guys know him. He runs the Meta Creation Lab for Creative AI at the School of Interactive Art and Technology, SFU Surrey. Big contributor here. The shout out I want to give him tonight, sucks he couldn't be here. He was just in Linz presenting at Ars Electronica, a paper that five of us in this room have written, Arshia, Lionel, Mohammed, Philippe, and myself. And that paper just got second place at Ars Electronica, honorable mention. Yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's a generative creativity article about using GANs, generative adversarial networks, including the open source tool Autoloom that we've built at the Meta Creation Lab to build small models based on artists' work without dipping into the training data that has been stolen from all the artists in Mankind. Yeah. So anyway, good job, Philippe. Good job, Philippe's lab. Just won second place at like the world's biggest international AI creativity conference. So, yeah, super amazing. Okay, so we're gonna continue with community announcements. I talked to a couple of you. My brain's going blank right now. Yes, sir. The best place I could point you right now is to Meta Creation LinkedIn, where at the top, there's like a photo of the certificate and a link to the paper. And as soon as I can get my hands on like physical copies, I'm gonna buy like 20 and put them in the library. Actually, this is a good chance. In the lounge over there where you guys were, there's a booth. One of the booths has shit for sale, shirts and stuff. I got four left of these really cool one-of-a-kind tie-dye shirts that I want you guys to buy. They're $100 each because they're made by hand. But we also got a whole bunch of other shit that I'm looking to blow out because I want to do new stuff. So take something from the store, $20 for all the t-shirts. Please, everyone take one tonight. And even if you give me 10, it's fine. I want them all gone at the end of the night. It's honor system. You have to either email me or stick it in my pocket. Shop yourself. But that wasn't what I was trying to do with sell things. Your question was about the paper. So there's the one. I'm going somewhere, you guys. You got to trust me here. There's the one table of shit that's for sale, but there's another table with a memorial on it to my dead buddy who helped start this event. And on that table is a whole bunch of free stuff. Free stickers, some free research papers from Meta Creation Lab that we've actually got the printed published copies of. And then also, Penfather, are you still here? Patrick Penfather? Patrick Fenfather and I from the Emerging Media Lab wrote a research paper last year for the BC Studies Journal about this community and how to grow AI communities and why the fuck it matters and what role this all plays. So there's a couple free research papers there. There's a library. You can check out some books. A lot of you guys have written books. You've given me a copy and inscribed it. Those things are on the library checkout table. Free stickers, free research papers, library check in and out. Also, buy a t-shirt. They're usually more expensive, but I just want them gone. So I want to do more creative, cool shit. So that's the only reason I'm hustling that really hard tonight. Where are we going next? All right, Carly. If I talk to you about doing a community announcement, your time is going to be next.
Hi, friends. My name is Carly Steinman. I am a licensed electrician, entrepreneur in an analog celebratory, and I've been in the industry for 19 years. I believe if you've been in an industry, it's important at a certain point to impart your knowledge and to educate the future. So I did a photo shoot of 19 tradeswomen, and I applied to art galleries. I have an exhibition next month from October 18th to the November 1st. I'm having 6 events. I'm doing a home maintenance 101 workshop that I want to do as a pilot to be a launch pad to teach people how to be in their homes, how to reset breakers. I really believe in it. And from there, it's going to pilot WorkBee, which is a business that's going to take care of our aging population who are living independently. Please follow along. Lady Electric, that's my business, underscore. And this is the tradeswoman exhibit. It's going to be great. Please bring your kids, everyone. It's going to be fun.
Thank you. Thank you. AI looks like Carly, too. You know, she's using it in all sorts of experimental ways. She's got a very strong voice and a very strong brand and, you know, training bots on exactly what she's up to. I appreciate you being here. This is as much for the AI expert as the AI curious. I mean, the thing about this tech is it affects our moms and our grandmas as much as it affects us, you know? My mom, come on back up.
I forgot to weave in my abilities because of chat. Like ChatGPT has helped me as an entrepreneur build this pilot and imagine, and not only imagine, but actually have the graham crackers to create and the courage to do it. So I, chat's my assistant. And I wouldn't be without that to like execute.
So AI doesn't necessarily look like Silicon Valley. It looks like Carly. It looks like Johnny Williams. It looks like Dave Olsen in Japan. Is there anyone else who needs to talk during community announcements that I've talked to? Matthew Schwartzman, please come up. Is there anyone here who went to the ED plus AI meetup? Is there anyone who went? Thanks. Come on up. You went to the Antonia? Yeah, thank you, sir. Give us 30. So guys, since you've seen me last, we've had like 5 other meetups from all our crazy cool subgroups. Matthew runs Surrey AI. This guy went to the Education Plus AI one that we launched at Ethos Labs with Antonia. Matthew, 30 seconds about what the fuck is going on, bro.
That's a lot of people. Oh my gosh. Chris, how do you do it? Anyhow, I run the Surrey AI community meetup. We meet in Surrey. Right now we're meeting in South Surrey, but we're thinking about, I was talking to the Surrey Development Center, potentially moving it closer to like City Hall. But anyhow, we meet over there. It's a really, it's a smaller community. So you kind of get to meet everybody. And we also have speakers kind of the same gist as here, but just very smaller. And come find me. I'll give you a code. It's some percent off of the total price. I won't tell you how much, for every single person might be different. Depends on how much I like you as a person.
The part to not snooze on, though, this Legion has a tiny little restaurant in the back that has these 3 grandmas that run it, that everything there is homemade, and including dessert. So last time they had like coconut cream pie, some lemon frise thing, like 3 like grandma desserts that I had never had. And they give you a food voucher when you buy a ticket. So half the ticket price goes to a food voucher. You go back to give it to the grandmas. You get homemade food. It's really sweet. However, Armin spent 3 hours getting here today through a bridge or a tunnel accident. Surrey's far. That's why we take it there for folks who live there, but also there's a bunch of us who go. It's a really, really sweet event, and I hope to see a lot of you at Surrey AI next month. Introduce yourself. Stand in the light.
Hi, I'm Arnold. I attend this meetup. This is my third one. So I went to the education meetup with Anthonia at the Ethos Labs. And I got to tell you, it was so inspiring. The conversation had actionable insights. If you're into education, educating people in any way, whether it's young people or older people, absolutely. What he said. It was super inspiring. And if you are interested in that intersection of AI and education and how that's going to work, I think it was really cutting edge conversation. So I really enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to go back. So I guess I invite you to come too. And the next one's happening October 9th. So we'll see you there.
I know there's a lot of you in this room who are building AI education apps, have kids in high school, you're trying to take control of what they're supposed to learn. You have people who just graduated from high school last year who are going to university. You're like, Chris Krug, tell me what my kids should study in university. And I'm like, I don't know, sir, but this is the room to come chat about it in. I appreciate you standing up on impromptu styles there. Is there anybody else who I've talked to or who knows they need to say something? James Lester, you got 30 seconds in you, sir? I'm inviting a sponsor up here. James Lester runs the Sons of Vancouver Distillery in North Vancouver. It's a really, really sweet room to go eat a meal, have some sips. You don't have 5 minutes like last time when you blew our mind. Just say what's on your mind and just come do your thing. James Lester.
Thank you very much, everyone. I've been reading a lot of biographies lately, and I got 30 seconds, so I think you should all go out and pick up a copy of Creativity Inc. by Ed Catmull. He started Pixar, and it's an amazing story that takes you through the creative process. Really quickly, I think there's two or three avenues of creativity that I found in my life, but only very recently. There's constructive, where you're putting things together to build something. You're on a journey. You're going up a mountain. You're in a tunnel, and you know that there's an end in sight. The next one is reductive, where you have a block of marble, and the perfect statue of Michelangelo is in there somewhere. And you need to remove the parts of marble that are not the statue. You're on the journey to create something, and you know that it's in there. You just need to remove the parts that you're not using. That's another way. They're both valid. I find that people work in one or the other. The people who I've met that are the most creative recognize these two sides, and they walk between them when they need them. The third method, I'm going to speak of really quickly, is the Jackson Pollock method. You're throwing shit at a wall. I've seen varying degrees of success. Just take this one on your own risk.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you should read books. He's an avid reader. He's an amazing distiller. Thank you for sponsoring these events, my friend. Marius, are you still here, or would you like me to talk about Segev Law tonight, sir? Come hang with me for 1 second. I have a friend, Ron Segev. He's got a brother, Elon Segev. They run a firm called Segev Law, specializing in digital stuff. This is Marius. He's our champion at Segev. They've been sponsoring us all year. Got a few more months left. Yo, bro, we just signed our 2026 lease on this place. And we're getting an office here. The BCAI Industry Association office here opens January 1st. So thank you so much for your support.
Congrats.
Yeah, I'll keep it short. My name is Marius. I'm a partner at Segev LP. We're a law firm. We do a ton of work with startups, AI companies. We understand kind of the challenges that we face. We work with companies of all sizes. If you have questions about the legal stuff, come find me after. Thanks so much.
I know a lot of you guys are cooking up a lot of things that are new for you and beyond your capabilities. It's always nice to talk to somebody like these guys. I trust Ron and Elon. Marius is a great guy too. Definitely talk to those guys about legal questions around IP, around copyright, trademark, AI law, stuff like that. They also know a lot about crypto and video games. That's their specialty. Okay, Dimitri. Where is my Dimitri? Welcome, sir. This is another friend and sponsor, Matthew Schwartzman's father. He's a realtor. He's AI curious. He's a media maker. You got 30 seconds, bro.
No problem. Hey, everybody. It's been an interesting journey to see the advancement of this. I encourage all of you to come out to Siri. But what I try to do is I'm learning a little bit about AI and trying to develop an app that I can't really say too much about because it's far away from being done. But I help a lot of single families to buy and sell properties. And I use AI to do export files and do very deep research on properties that are better, that are more valuable, that have better chances of being sold down the road. But I'm always looking to see how else we can maybe encourage other realtors to learn more about AI, because capabilities of AI is incredible and real estate really needs it to improve videos, to improe research, and much more. That should be all.
I mean, he's being kind of coy. He developed a super secret prompt he's been working on over the last year that is able to identify the lowest price per square foot based on parameters in a whole area. So if you want to like some strategic intelligence on cheap shit that's a good value, talk to Dimitri here, yeah? Thank you, Dimitri. How we doing here, guys? You having fun? All right, cool. We're going to get to the keynote in a minute. I'm super excited to share that with you tonight. But I'm not going to let too much cat out of bag. What else we got here, Kevin? All right. Very good. Except I didn't give you his photos yet is the only problem. So I wonder if there... Zaro, you're up next while I prepare Manny's photos here real quick. Up next, I'm super stoked to introduce you guys to Gabe Zaro. A lot of you guys know him. This guy's a fucking rock star. I mean, obviously, he looks like one. Zaro is a community executive. He's like CEO-level community guy, and he's worked for a lot of the coolest projects in the whole wide world when it comes to community. Him and I are working on the BCAI Discord right now. He flips me a screenshot yesterday. He's digging through his archives. He's like, yo, here's the last Discord server I set up before this, and it had like 52,000 people online that moment that he took the screenshot or whatever. We're talking like EA Sports, soccer, basketball type game stuff. He's a community genius, and we're cooking a lot of stuff together. We've been spending about an hour a day together rubbing brains, and it's been a very valuable time, but I'm not trying to be too coy here. You can just deliver what you're going to deliver, and I'm going to get Manny's images lined up.
Okay, so I'm going to stall for time. That's the mission. I'm joking. It's okay. Well, I do have something here to show. It's about Discord, but I'm going to talk a little bit about my journey before that. So as Chris mentioned, I have a very eclectic background, and I've been collecting communities for about 40 years now. And when I say collecting communities, I say I've been to theater, I've been into music, I've been into religion, circus, tech, marketing, design, politics, gaming, and AI. And at some point, I was even part of a magic and illusionism association. And that one I can prove real quick for you. Nothing in this hand, and nothing in this hand. Yeah, that's the... Thank you. Yeah, it took some time for me to get that. But yeah, I have a hypothesis that I'm working on, that community is humanity's operational system. And it's a weird one, but follow me. Try to, at least. The idea is that, for me, it started out in Brazil. I was born in the very edges of a community, and it's the second biggest favela in Brazil, a place where 120,000 people still live to this day. And it's a very humble background, very humble spot. And that's where I learned to see how people treat each other. In a favela, in the community, your neighbor is your babysitter, is your grocery store, is your alarm system. You know, ignore them at your own risk. But from chaos, you are able to get some sort of organic organization. And from that chaos, you get trust. And that was my patch zero for my operational system. It was survival. Going forward, I went into the circus. I mean, I started working really early, but I was lucky enough that I come from an artistic family. And I ended up working in the theater. And theater work was play, and play I did. And I moved on later to the circus. And yeah, working in the circus is really weird because it was where I learned to trust. At one point, I was holding myself by a rope in a 40-foot structure. And the only thing like making me safe was my friends on the other end. And if I let go, they would fall. And if they let go, I would fall. Circus is really weird that way because it's the only interviewing process that can leave a very noticeable stain in the background, you know? Anyways, that was the security patch. That's where I learned to trust and work with a team. You know, it was very peer-to-peer. Moving forward, I went into a digital strategy. Are we ready? Because I'm still going here. I was
he bailed on me like 5 minutes before the keynote started. He's like, bro, things are intense. Let me give it another time. I'm just going to talk about the community stuff tonight. Let's get into the community stuff, bro. So what you been cooking?
Right.
You may not just be able to immediately show things on the screen right now.
It's here.
Fuck yeah.
So I was talking about community, so I would get into the big communities that he was talking about. I went into gaming, worked for EA on FIFA. Then I worked on 2K. Those are big ones. The thing that I learned there is that community for those companies used to be a reactive discipline, right? We came in and we created intelligence out of those. And that's what we're trying to do here for BCAI. We have a very interesting community with very different and eclectic backgrounds, as you saw here in this crowd right now. And for that, we're doing a survey to help matchmake and find good matches for the people who are here. So if you're a founder, if you're an investor, if you're looking for someone to do a project with, this is what we're going to work for right now. So we're opening this survey, and with it, we're opening a Discord server. So the conversations so far have happened in WhatsApp groups, and those are cool, and they're great, and we have awesome conversations, but a lot... It gets really tense. So the Discord comes in to help with that. So... we're going to give you a link, but I want to show you the onboarding so that you guys are not overwhelmed by, you know, people who don't use Discord yet are not overwhelmed when they join. So as soon as you join, you're going to see a customizing experience screen. And then you're going to be asked 3 questions. The first one is, what are your main interests? As you select the interests, you're going to get a different experience within the server. So it's important for you to check it out. So you have all of these opportunities here. And then you can go into question number 2, which is, what SIGs or special interest groups are you interested in participating? So you saw about Mac, you saw about Ed AI, sorry, it's still written differently. And you have all of these other ones that we are working on and participating. So you choose those, you choose where you're from, it helps us understand where we want to do the events next, who can participate, who's going to come, where we do stuff. And then you read and agree to the server rules or Krug's Code of Cool, which is basic and should, you know, everybody here should be aligned with. As soon as you get in, you have three little challenges or things to do. You introduce yourself, check the events, and head on over to talk with us. What this does is, look at, this is the amount of channels that you can be part of. And if you have everything, turned on. So that's why we have the onboarding. If you want, if you go on the onboarding and only choose AI news, you're only going to get like a few channels, like you see on the left there. That's the basic. But you can always go into channels and roles and choose whatever you want to see so you're not overwhelmed at any time. So that's the idea here. You can see the events as they happen. You can get alerts set out through Discord as well. Very useful platform, very community friendly. I advise everybody to test it out at least just to see how it goes. And as I said,
the AI revolution happened on Discord. Like most of the cool apps that come out before they have a user interface even on them, they're available only on Discord. So it's like a very video game, AI-centric community platform that, you know, I'm super excited to roll out. We've had one going for a while in the background, but this is like bringing it all into focus around BC AI through Gabe's expertise.
That's it. And then, as I said at the start, we are also rolling out the survey. It's an onboarding survey. This one will take you about 10 minutes. It's a little deeper, but it goes into the details of what you're looking for in this community. So if you are a founder, if you are, you know, looking for arts projects, or if you are an educator and you're looking to partner up and see where you can help, this is where we're going to match make you and like actually create a data set of everybody that's in BCAI. So that we can like run monthly, you know.
And like matchmaking sounds kind of bullshit a lot of times, but you guys know, you all come to me and you're like, who should I talk to in this room who knows about AI ethics? Who should I talk to in this room that knows about HR and AI? So it's like this matchmaking thing is just a way of systematizing what you guys are already asking me for all the time, which is connecting you to the right people in the room.
That's exactly what it is. Or if you're coming from the gaming industry, it's also how you define, you know, the MMR or the level, the ELO of your competitiveness for whatever you're playing. So this is the same thing. We're trying to make sure that everybody has the best experience. So yeah, feel free to join us on Discord. Get the survey in. I know the internet here is not the best, but maybe take a picture and then join the Discord later on. Let me get out of your way. And that's it for Discord. And I'll tell the rest of my community story later on if you guys are interested.
I actually can't wait.
Misha?
Just one sec.
I also use Discord a lot myself, and I love it. And one thing I love to do sometimes is also participate in like voice chat groups and events. So my suggestion is hopefully we can transfer some of these to potentially virtual for more convenience as well.
You're going to be so stoked, bro, Gabe. Zaro set up on every subgroup, both voice chat, video chat stuff. So everything already has this. If there's four of you hanging out on a server for a minute, you guys are like, let's take this to chat. We got that now. So not only
that, one more thing. I don't know why I'm using this. Everybody can listen to me. For podcasts. Yes, I'm sorry. Hi, Dave. And hi, Chris Moms. The cool thing about Discord is permalinks. So we set out forum channels. So sometimes we start a conversation on WhatsApp. Oh, did you see this paper that just came out? Yeah. And then like 140 messages comes after that. And then you're like, you come in after a Saturday and you're like, what the hell just happened here? It's, you know? Yeah. So with Discord and the forum channels, you will always have a permalink. So we can start a conversation today about a paper. And 2 years from now, when that paper gets updated, we go back to that same discussion and we don't lose it. And there's a search engine within it, so you can actually find these conversations. So it's very useful. We're looking long-term here so that we can build and build on top of, you know, the knowledge base that we started, you know, Chris started. So yeah, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Zaro. You're the shit, man. I love this guy. When you tell your community story again, you told a part of it here tonight, but you hit it so much harder with me the other day when you were like, when I decided to stop being an individual and participate in collaborations and teams, it was through clowning and circus and all that kind of stuff. And that, when you're like, I had to trust people, I had to step out. I mean, that was like, you got me, man. You really, really hooked me there. So thanks, Zaro. Okay, now up next is Manny Axelstein, who Jesse is about to introduce. Jesse, if you'd like to join me here, that'd be great. Jesse runs 221A, which is a very interesting arts project here in Vancouver. I'm going to let him talk a little bit about it, but they've got grand visions. And so come right up here with me, sir. Like after last month when we had a fucking 2.5 hour packed program and this place was so sweaty that everyone wanted to rip their clothes off, I was like, we're going to cancel the whole program next time. We're only going to network and eat food. That's all we're going to do. Jesse emails me like 2 weeks ago. He talked to me about Manuel. And I was like, dude, we got to put the program back together just for this or whatever. And so thanks for reaching out to me, bro. I really respect what you guys are doing. I'm happy to watch your successes and the encroachment you're making towards your dreams. And just really happy you're here. You're welcome to introduce yourself, talk about what you're up to, introduce our speaker. Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. Long time observer, but first time meetup. So nice to meet you all. And thanks for giving me the stage. So 221A, so we're an artist organization, cultural organization. We've got about 9 facilities across the city, mostly supporting studio spaces, galleries, cultural spaces, education spaces. Ethos Lab is in one of our buildings. We look after artists' housing in some ways. Yeah, they're one of our subtenants. So we're glad to work with Anthonia for the past couple years. And you know, we've been working really around infrastructure for about 10 years now. I'm the head of digital strategy, so that means we've been moving into digital infrastructure and thinking about what that means. So we're on a FAIR data mission. FAIR is an equitable, but FAIR is also an acronym for findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable data. And so that's what we need to be doing with our cultural data. Give it identity, give it transactional capacity, give it rights. Let it live in the world, let the robots do what they want to do with it. So we're really kind of AI positive in that space. And one of the things we're doing is we're building a partnership with an accelerator program called Brink. You might have seen some announcements over the spring, summer, but we're just about to announce our first cohort for a FAIR Data Accelerator group. And that should come out sometime in October. There'll be future cohorts if you've got ideas and projects to pitch, so come towards us. But that's usually somewhere between 150K to 250K in pre-seed funding to get your project going. And then they've got a global syndicate to kind of hook you up after that. So if you have questions about that program, come find me after. But the reason I wanted to kind of come to the event tonight was to share Manuel's project. And it's something that he told me about probably a couple months ago. And then when I first heard about it, I was like, you know what? We should probably go to this thing that Chris is doing, just lay the ideas down and kind of see who comes forward. So I won't say too much more about it, but I will introduce Manuel. And Manuel Axelstein, all pronouns, is a two-spirit artist from the lands and the waters of the Musqueam, Tsimshe, and Tsleil-Waututh people. Their practice braids family memory, land-based ceremony, and anti-colonial aesthetics to reimagine how we relate across beings and systems. So please join me in welcoming Manny to the stage.
Thank you, Jesse. Hello, everyone. Siam Nastiaya Anta Sukast Manuel Axelstein, Tanitsana Khomasquiam, Chuchua and Kamapalax. So I just said in the Downriver dialect of Hunkaminam my name, and that I'm from Musqueam, Simk, and Nkamupalux. So I just wanted to share as well where we are today is near a place called Sanak. Sanak has been the name of this place for a long time. Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people have traveled and used this area for a long time. And now we have a new village, the Squamish village, being built over there. I always think it's funny to think of that. Those giant towers as a village. And I'm very grateful to be here today. I'm an artist. I work with all sorts of different mediums. I'm also the co-artistic director of the Vines Art Society. And today I'm here to share my idea with you all and see if anyone can help, because I need all the help to do this. It's a rather ambitious project, but I'll give a little bit of history about my connection to AI over the past few months before I go into that. So I wonder if we could show some of the pictures.
Manny, I'm sorry. So we have your images, but they're in whatever order they're in. And
we'll go with that. They're whatever order we're in. It's you know, I really love the excitement of not knowing. I think, I imagine everyone here does too, and that's why we're all here, part of this AI community, because it's like, what's going to come out next, right? What's it going to say?
morning's like that.
Every morning, yeah.
It's like, what's going to be here today?
We'll find out.
Maybe we will.
You know, if we don't, it's okay. I think we've all learned that using AI.
Manny?
Yeah? Come stand in the light. Okay.
We're making a nice video of you.
Oh, where's...
Between now and when the things come up, please.
Well, I'll share a little bit of the story. So I'm going to share with you some very sacred information and knowledge. But I'll start by that by thinking about the different parallels we're living in right now. As we started the show, we had a welcome from someone from the Squamish First Nation. And that's an act that has been done long before settler people came here to create good relations with each other. We raise our hands and we welcome each other. And that creates a shared economy of sharing resources and having good relations. We do have an image up, but I'll keep going. So what we're seeing today, especially here in the context of this unsettled, unceded land, is a resurgence of Indigenous knowledge systems. In addition to that, we're having this sort of new moment of this AI revolution. So these moments are happening together at the same time. But what's really interesting is that when I was thinking about Indigenous knowledge system, it's almost like we have to go back. We have to remember. We have to remember who we are and where we come from. But AI is asking us to go to places we haven't been. So that's kind of what I'm contending with, that binary system of going back and going forward, the past and the future working together. So I'll start with this first image. It's just an installation at Richmond Art Gallery, having a solo exhibition right there. And so this is a painting. It's an oil painting on a wall that I painted a mural on. And I did use AI to create some of the imagery. So what we're looking at is these forms here on the wall are based off of images of a compound called paclitaxel. And paclitaxel is found in yew trees, and it's actually in chemotherapy as well. So using AI to find out what are the specific unique medicinal qualities of the plants that are Indigenous here, and they're making images off them. And then we have these two figures that was done with my cousin Callie Van Stone, of these two figures here. And so the work is called Together with Paclitaxel. So I'm asking us to be together with the land and the micro elements of that land. So maybe we can go to the next image. And so the same with this one. So this image is called Lithium Over a Forest Fire. So I was using AI to help find images of lithium under a microscope. And then I was making pictographic images within the style of the Columbia River historically to show that image. And then underneath it, I was looking at pictures of forest fires. And so my messaging here is that we have these ecological crises that we're going through, like forest fires. And at the same time, we're having a rise in mental health crisis and a toxic drug supply crisis, all issues with the mind. And what I'm trying to say is that what we're experiencing in the climate is also what humans are going through, because I'm trying to get us to remember that we are part of the land and that we are part of this ecosystem, and we cannot separate ourselves from it as much as we can. Everything on this earth is together. And so when we have these crises in the ecosystem, humans are going to feel that at our core as well. And we're going to see rise in mental health crisis or drug addiction or all sorts of that. So we have to remember that what happens out there is going to happen to us in our bodies too. So that's Lithium Over a Forest Fire. And then there's a whole series based off other drugs at the Richmond Art Gallery as well. And so I was using AI to look at these microscopic images and create forms. Like this one. Yeah, so this one again is, based off of paclitaxel again, because paclitaxel is found in yew trees here, but then it's also in the Kootenays, which is the far reach of the Sealk Nation, where my great-great-great-grandmother was close to. And so that's her image on the bottom. And then there's a large photo mural that takes up the whole wall at the gallery as well. So then, this one's fun. This is a good segue. Maybe we'll stop at this image for a while. But So this one is called micromedicine. And so I was looking at the different the mycelium network that trees use to communicate to each other, because we know now that trees, they send warning signals to each other, and they work together to warn each other or communicate. And so using AI, I was looking at different images based on that mycelium network. And then I just painted it. And then I put an image of my grandma, because we believe as Coast Salish people that our ancestors are really connected to the cedar tree. And that's because a long time ago, when we died, they would go into the tree. And in the interior, my mother's side of the family as well, they would bury a loved one at a tree. And so the trees, they recycle air as well, and they help us in that sense with our air too. So this painting is called In the Air. The other one was called In the Air. This one's the micromedicine, but it's getting us to think about like how everything is interconnected, that we never really leave this place. So let's see the next image. Yeah, so this is just straight from AI, the images that we were looking at. So I basically just ask it to look at I ask it to show me the different, mycelium network pieces, components, and then create an image of that. And then I say, okay, can you now help me make this into an image that is based off pictographs found on the Columbia River or Coast Salish pictographs? And then I'll give it reference material that's found in archives. So what's the next image? There we go. This is one too. Paclitaxel. It's found in chemotherapy. And so that's because what has been taught to me from my uncle Shane, who's an elder in our family, is that everything is medicine. You just have to know how to use it. And what I've been telling people is that everything you're touching right now comes from the earth, but we as humans forget that. And that's what I was talking about earlier, that this revitalization of indigenous knowledge is teaching us to go back and remember who we are and where we come from, or where the wood on these chairs come from, and that it's all connected. So that's kind of like a introduction, but now I'm gonna take us a little further. My uncle Neil Eustache once was talking to me on a video chat, because he lives in Chuchua about 5 hours away. And he said, I wanna be able to actually know what the tree is saying. And I want to be able to connect to it in that level. And we as First Nations people have always known that we can communicate with trees and that they communicate to each other. And whenever we're struggling, it's been taught to me and many other First Nations, especially Coast Salish people, to go spend time with a tree. And you listen and the tree will tell you things. And it's funny because I was talking to my dad about this idea. I said, well, what if we have to find a way to get people to understand what these plants and animals and the trees are saying, or what the forest is saying? He looked at me, he said, you know, that tree's just going to tell you to fuck off, right? So I thought that was really funny. And so, yeah, thanks, Dad. But it's funny because he says, well, he's the one that taught me to just, if you ever need to get energy from a tree, you just go and you put your hands on it and you just sit there and you sit with it. So I'm hoping that all of us here can start to understand our interconnectedness and dependency on the forest, because we are dependent upon it and we will need it, and we need to boost its communication to us. Because I think as First Nations people, we know how to talk to it. It's also been taught to me growing up that plants will communicate to us through dreams. So if you spend enough time with plants and you connect to it in a certain way, it'll come to you in a dream and it will start talking to you. I've experienced this myself. It's very strange to see the plant. It's just bizarre. But this is knowledge that we have safeguarded for a long time. And I think we were afraid to share it with you all because we thought we would go crazy. But it is real. And we're now learning about, everyone knows now if you talk to a plant, it grows better, or, There's even stories of us, and it's still done to this day, that when we go into the land and we harvest a plant, we have to talk to it and we have to even sing to it. We offer it something. At the exhibition at Richmond Art Gallery, I, for four nights, would gather wildflowers at nighttime and I asked them to help me. I would sit with the plants and I would say, please help me. Our world is divided and I need your help to remind people of the beauty of our world and how to relate to each other better. So, and when you start to connect them in that way, that you feel the burden of them, the burden of taking them and asking for their help. It's kind of like going to your parents and like, mom and dad, can you help me? You know, like, it's like, you know, you need their help, but you're like, kind of like, oh fuck, you know? It's like that, because what we're has been shared also is that our creation story is that we all descend from the sky. I wonder if there's another, is there another image of the sky? No, not that one. No, maybe we don't have, there it is. So we all descend from the sky. And this has probably been a story that's been told all over the world. But the Coast Salish version is that when we descended from the sky, there was this figure, this person called Hals, the Transformer. And to teach humans a lesson, and my own personal take on it, is to show that they're better than humans. He turned some people into rocks, into animals, and into plants. So we literally acknowledge that we're all connected. And when you think about life on this earth, we are. We all came from this single cell that first started. And so that's really the main purpose here, is to show that First Nations people have a story that can help humanity as a whole if we can start to honor and respect the integrity and intelligence of what we're trying to share. So now the news story. So like I said, my uncle Neil Eustache was like, I want to talk to a tree. I've been told my whole life, you got to talk to the plants before you take from them. Or my dad telling me to put my hands on it. Or the Inthlapakmuk elder Trudy Jack telling me I have to sing to it. Or my friend Megan Thomas, who taught me how to dream with plants. That one was trippy. But so it was pretty late at night, and I was here with Will. There's Will. Say hi, Will. And I just said, I want to know what that tree is saying to that tree. And so we just used AI to sort of create that dialogue. And then from there, I started thinking, there has to be a way for us to actually do this. And if we can get it right and understand the communication and how we as humans interact with it better, the possibilities to regenerate forests could really help us. Because if Indigenous people, we know that if you sing to the plants, they'll grow better. Then we can have a lot of us together, a lot of humans in the forest singing together. And that will help regenerate the forest better, which can help all of us. So I'm not sure, how much time do I have?
I mean, I think there's probably gonna be a lot of questions. So if you have more things to say, say some stuff, but also we'd love to ask you questions. So whatever you feel like, man.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me just double check my notes. But I think it's pretty overwhelming. You know, I'm talking about like dreaming with plants and sing to the forest and it'll grow better. But this is all starting to be proven by science, what we've known since forever. So what me and Will were working on is we have this, there's all these different chemicals that plants use to communicate with each other. You know, there's all sorts of different things. But there has been studies of how these different networks can communicate to each other, but kind of like focusing on one thing at a time, like the fungal network, for example. But what I'm hoping to achieve is that over time, we can use all the different ways that plants to communicate to each other together and focus on that. But then what we need to I need help understanding is, because first we'll have to sort of work with small samples of plants, and then we'll have to sing to see how they respond to the growth. We'll also have to understand how they respond to that. So we'll have to receive a mechanism to sort of interpret the data to give us a message. Can that be translated into human speech? I'm not sure, or English is a major question. But this is what I've been dreaming about with AI. But I guess questions, yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you, Manny. Will, do you want to join us for a sec? I feel like you might have some things to say.
Yeah, Will definitely have things to say. Yeah.
Let's step up here into the light a little bit. Manny, come on up here right here.
Oh, okay.
Will, come right here.
So Will's been helping me with like a lot of different technical stuff. I don't know if you want to just speak about that.
I like to call myself a puzzler. As many of you are, eclectic in your knowledge and your experience. And this is something where when Manny was kind of telling me about the idea, I just kind of stopped him and said, give me 30 seconds. And you're onto something. Can we, you know, I think the words anthropomorphically get the message and understand what plants are saying in these different ways? Well, how many different ways are there that plants talk? And now you start looking into taxonomies and the structure of data. And anybody who's been a librarian or worked at one knows the Dewey Decimal System. And as soon as you start expanding out any sort of idea, you get above 12 or 16, you want to start looking for multiple categories. And we've got about 9 different sciences. And the one thing about sciences, I'm sure engineers know this as well, they don't communicate very well between each other. So although individual fields have been explored within realms of understanding, you know, what messages are being sent and what that message means, nobody's actually brought it together. So we started building a taxonomy list using AI and just going through, and it's getting extensive. I know we're looking at some of the categories getting 10,000, you know, different options. But in order to get to that end layer, you know, you start with the field of science and you get to the 9 layers later, the message of going, hey, I need more water. And that's really, you know, kind of where Manny was getting at. And we plugged it in on a forest walk and took 2 pictures of 2 different bushes. And one was indigenous and one was not. And it was quite funny. You know, here I'm, you know, background Scottish, if you can't tell. And so we're having this conversation as 2 friends. And here are the 2 plants next to each other. And the non-indigenous vine is like, well, I just thought I'd grow everywhere because it was so boring before I came along. And it's so great once you but if there's tools that can help people get more connected to nature, is that not a good thing?
Hey, Will, Manny, what do you need right now? You said you came here to share your ideas with us, hoping that you might find some collaborators and stuff. And so what are the things that you feel like if somebody was interested in that or could explore that with you would be the most valuable right now? What do you want to explore?
Well, all partnerships are welcome. We have a phrase in our language, amitsep kwekwelem, all are welcome. And I'll also say, you know, to do this research, we will need sensors to connect to understand the plants, ones that are non-invasive. So anyone that
sensors,
to help us understand the signals better. And funding support as well.
We ain't necessarily the ballers in the room, but we have access to those people. And so I know a lot of you guys are like responding to those funding opportunities that I'm putting out there. And when you're looking for grant partners, people to talk to about projects and stuff, like maybe you talk to Will, maybe you talk to Manny. Like these are the types of things that probably have a lot of legs behind them. Manny, switch mics with me. I'm going to take that one out to the world.
Okay.
Well, I don't have to go far. You can finish what you were saying, though.
Very nice. Is this mic on?
It is on.
Okay. Yeah. Just got to hold it closer.
How do we get a hold of you? Like,
well, I'll give everyone my phone number.
It's.
You're welcome to do so now, but I'll also publish the contact info that you want afterwards.
It's 778. Are you ready?
You know, my phone died, so I can't write it down, but hopefully there's a way that we can do it when I get home. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I have a website. It's just my name, manuelaxelstrain.com, and there's a contact button there. Yes, manualaxlestrain.com.
Perfect.
Anyone else have questions or things they want to contribute to this conversation? Thank you so much.
Manny. Hey. Myself is Larissa. My name is Larissa Healy. I don't know if you remember me.
I do.
Girl 23. I just wanted to say I'm so proud of you, and I look forward to collaborating with you again. Manny and I know each other back from the day from doing 150 Canada. We did a giant mural together. He was the loveliest person you could ever meet. And so inspiring to see you here doing this level. And I'd like to join you again. Oh, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Questions, provocations, challenges?
Hey, Manny, that's awesome. I feel like so many times there, I was like, well, you just need to take mycelium to talk to the plants. I've done it several times. But I've got a...
which could be true.
a film lighting company, and we actually design technology for the film industry. And one of the products we made is called the Hypha. And it is because Hypha is that mycelium network that allows nature to talk. And this allows all forms of lighting data to pass through it. So it was just funny how that sort of connection was there. But there could be a way. I'm in the middle of trying to hire a new electronics hardware developer. So we might be able to help out in some way with the microcontroller sort of stuff.
Thank you.
That's so cool, man. This whole community is about putting like the little bit extra that you got in the middle and seeing if we can build something more out of it. So I really appreciate it. You're a new guy too, man. I appreciate the way you show up.
Matchmaking. Matchmaker.
One sec, Misha. You already had your chance.
Hey, Manny. Chris Lagerbeck Carpenter. I'm Helsic. Good to see you here and representing. Lobbing a bit of an indigenous question at you, which is, you know, thinking about AI, one of the hard things as indigenous folks is there's protocol, rules, regulations around how we use and deploy our knowledge, whether that's story, song, dance, you know, painting, what have you. And that's kind of like a massive question when we're working with AI. It's like, what do we upload? What's the protocol behind it? And so with the work you're doing, you know, what are the kind of ethics or protocols that you're following when you're putting your work out there, you know, into the world, but also into AI, which there's potential for loss of control, loss of, you know, having your own hands and eyes on it. So what do you think about when you're putting your work out into the world?
It's a major question. I have done an exhibition about this topic itself. It was called Threshold in 2023. Where I intentionally left out the meaning of the exhibition. So all people knew is that they come into the exhibition and I'm asking you not to talk about it, which is fun. But then there was a whole essay that wrote about it. But because it is true that as First Nations people, our intelligence has been appropriated. It's been, I would say, misused in harmful ways. And in addition, if it's not delivered in the right way, then it can, that's how we get these appropriations or misunderstandings or confusions. So with AI, it is hard. Generally, I just sit with the elders that I know in my family. So Shane Point is the elder I consult with usually about these. And he basically just said, well, we need everyone to help. Like, this is what young people need to do, is we have to find a way to make this work. Because the other ethical concern that I thought about with this knowledge extraction that's taking place is, if we're left out of these conversations, does that do us more harm?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna put my, here we go, one sec. We are getting close to the heart of the matter right here.
Manny, just as a First Nations, I'm a Cree Anishinaabe, reaching out with the same, exact same conversation. When does it become a responsibility where you can blockchain the actual information that we traditionally have, and we have access through that consulting and permission, but there's also general information that stimulates the idea to get there?
Mm-hmm. it's a very good important topic. So I've actually just programmed most of my AI to have these things in consideration. So there are times where I just ask it and it'll point blank just tell me, I cannot tell you that. So it can be done. It's quite an easy adjustment. It's to just ask it to follow UNDRIP and follow consent, and it will just point blank tell you, I can't tell you that.
I really appreciate this conversation. This qualifies as difficult conversation because so I'm the CTO at the Indigenomics Institute with Caroline Hilton, and we're often talking about this tension between what we reveal and share, the tools we use and protocol and the rest, versus like being left behind from all of this stuff. And so like, this is the most important conversation in many ways. And I appreciate you having it. Thank you for asking questions, for following on there. Do you have something to contribute to this?
I have a stutter. Hope I get this through. Not long ago, I helped the government of BC determine the value of the dollar value of the commons. So, well, one of the problems we have as a species is the tragedy of the commons, which is there are resources in society that are ephemeral, but have value. But because they are ephemeral, no one has responsibility for them. So I developed a logic tree to express the value of desire of that relationship in there. And that's being used by a local government to invest in watershed assets now. So that nature of desire is attraction between trees and humans and everyone else. And I think there's something in there that might help you. If you want to talk to me, you can come talk to me, or you can look at my LinkedIn profile. I'll give it to you later.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to ask a question for Manny? Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I love the work. It's beautiful. And it's also going back to roots in a way. But there is a difference between communication and intention. Mm-hmm. And I want you to comment on what you've had in terms of thinking about how do you measure intention? Because conversation can be very different from what you actually intend. And I know that nature is pretty straightforward, but we're not. And how do you sort of navigate that?
Well, I'll start by saying intention is an incredibly important discussion. So what wasn't shared and isn't shared, and I wish was shared more, when we as Coast Salish people do our welcomings and we welcome people here, traditionally how it's done is you would all have a speaker here and you would approach us and you would tell us your intentions. And then we would say, okay, sounds good. You're good to go. Now it's kind of become this thing where we're like, everyone's welcome. I meet Seb Kwekwelem. And what is unfortunate about that is that the oral history has taught me that when the settler people came here, they had stated their intentions, but they weren't their true intentions. So this is an issue that Coast Salish people and other interior Salish people, because it's the same protocol, have dealt with since settler people have been here. How do we trust your intentions? And what I've learned is that, it's true. Intentions don't always matter. And so that's when I was thinking through this issue, I asked the AI about this project and I said, what are the difficulties navigating this? And this was what was brought up, that we can't actually know if what it is saying is real, and to not think of it necessarily as a direct communication, but as like a collection of data is one way to more think of it. A sample of data that we can try to read, because anything that we ask it to tell us, there's no real way of us actually knowing if this is, because the trees have a lifespan that could be 2,000 years old. So it's hard to say, like, is this like an actual message we're receiving, or is this just kind of doing the equivalent of being like, and then, you know, like we don't know, because this signal might be like a micro signal and we don't know the whole message. But these are the questions we're trying to figure out. And a lot of it, I would say, knowing that Coast Salish people really value and honoring the concept of honesty and respect, intuitively, this is why we have to be the ones that do this, because we value that more than I think a greater society. We believe people's intentions, and that's why we have all these people from other places here. That's why we have all this beautiful city here, because we just trusted, we just took your word for it. And we still are. Yeah.
Thank you, Manny. Really appreciate your contribution. I appreciate you being open, coming to us with not your fully baked plan, asking for help. I hope that some of you people follow through with your, you know, connections with Manny and stuff. Jesse, just want you to send us out here on Manny's little piece.
This is what I love the most about what I do, is hearing artists' visions and then finding a community to help raise that vision into reality, just like Manny was saying that we did with this city. So please join us. We're not sure what all the partnerships look like, but it's a really exciting project, and it's beautiful to have it in the lands and waters where we live. It's reminding me of a couple of projects that I've been following along for a couple of years now, which include kind of an AI almanac for navigating indigenous territories in what is now called Russia, that's starting back in 2017. Or there's a beautiful project coming out of Germany called Terra Zero, which is a self-managing forest where it manages its own needs. It has a crypto-economic background. It can decide to log itself enough to just pay for its maintenance so it won't burn down, those sorts of things. So if you can think about how these projects could connect with something like with what Manny is building, there's a whole world out there that we can start to connect.
Let me tell you, the curator is earning his keep tonight, contextualizing your project in the whole wide world of what's going on out there. Thank you so much for coming here, buddy. Thank you, Jesse. I promise we're on the home stretch here. How was that for you? You want to talk to non-human beings with AI? It does seem like there's something there. Like if it's just a bunch of pattern recognition inside data sets and we got big enough data sets, I think we can probably talk to the other kin. Bring me home, Mr. Pixel Wizard. All right, guys. So if you like what's going on here, if you want to be a part of something bigger than just yourself, we got the BC AI ecosystem nonprofit that we just launched a month and a half ago. A lot of you people are members already. That's the QR code. Cost $200 for the year. Definitely worth it. Let the other people tell you why. I'm not going to get into a big sales pitch right now, but please check it out. Sign up. This is like community infrastructure. When you sign up, you know, the money goes into making something that we're doing here, you know? So if you like what we've got going on, please sign up, become a member. There's all sorts of cool perks. Bring us home, mister.
That's what we got.
All right. That wrap.
Can I talk about next month?
Yeah, buddy, come do it. Okay. Do you guys know Mr. Pixel Wizard?
Yeah. Good old me.
The prompt goblin.
I have many hats now. It's these pseudonyms are I'm going to have a master prompt for everything here. So, hey everyone, if some of you have been following along for a while, I get up to quite a bit in AI film, and what we've started to discover in AI film is that there is quite the industry blossoming. Literally in the past couple of months, it is just out of our minds. So, in the spirit of that, in the spirit of you know, fostering community and creativity, Chris and I and Patrick at UBC as well have started to coalesce together. We've been talking about an AI film meetup. We've had a WhatsApp group happening over the past couple of months. We're just shy of 100 people in there, which is mind-blowing to me to have that as a subgroup with 100 prompt curious folks really drilling in there. And we're sharing... ByteDance? Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got a bunch of funding, you know, really just before the finish line from ByteDance, as well as some strategic partnerships. So in the spirit of all this kind of like coalescing and the group really coming together, we're doing a takeover next month. In the spirit of film in Vancouver with the Vancouver International Film Festival with Signals happening in October, we thought we would bookend it with making October a film specialty meetup. So the first real official AI film meetup is happening right here, October 29th. October 29th.
Johnny on the spot.
Yeah. It's like, everybody pull out your calendar. Yes. 29th of October, we'll have AI films. We'll have people here. We'll talk about what's the latest and greatest. We'll get behind some of the prompts behind some of those films as well. And depending if ByteDance happens to come through, we may have something very magical and special in that too.
Like they said, yes.
It's all timing, right? Yes, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Kevin helped make special effects on Dune. Thorne helped make special effects on Avatar. These guys are exploring the edges of AI when it comes to this new audio, video, special effects stuff. They're literally the bee's knees in the whole wide world, and that's why folks like ByteDance come and knock on our. This dude flew from Tokyo to last month's meetup to do the deal with us that we're talking about right now, and he'll be back. Karu, you'll see him around. Yeah, he's going to make everybody's tickets cheaper soon. I really appreciate everyone who showed up. Thank you, Zaro, for contributing. Thank you, Manny. Thank you, Jesse. Michelle Diamond, come stand next to me for one quick sec. Victor, Michelle. Yo, you guys seen our prolific documentation, right? These guys are the best of the best right here. Let's stand in the light together. Come on. You're off duty for a sec. You're off duty, bro. Seriously, a big part of making community is telling the stories of the people in the community. These guys help do that the best. Michelle and Victor come every month since the beginning. They're my go-to people. I'm always trying to hustle for Michelle, so she takes over Nook co-working space to do this like Christmas studio for Christmas family photos. That's like her jam. She makes like pretty much $100,000 the next couple months doing like this awesome Christmas thing. So book your Christmas family photos with Michelle. She's amazing. And don't ever call Victor, please. He's mine.
No.
Never call Victor, ever. Victor Serbin. V-I-K-T-O-R-S-E-R-B-I-N. Never call him, please. You're amazing. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.